National Development Plan, which continues to be endorsed by government, predicts that small and medium enterprises will provide up to 90% of new employment opportunities by 2030, which would make the SME sector a powerful economic force. But in order to achieve this, the sector will need the necessary support. Well, to share some of his wisdom on this process, I'm joined on the line by Simon Leps. He's the CEO at XPRS Capital Africa. So, Simon, according to research done by the Small Enterprise Development Agency, the vast majority of South African businesses, small businesses, don't last 3.5 years. Why do these businesses seemingly lack the sustainability factor?
It's not that they lack the sustainability factor. It's that it's very, very hard to start a business and to keep it running successfully. And once you get to a certain point, you tend to need a lot of capital to grow. People think it's generally easy. You start a business, you make money, you invest money into the business, and it grows. It's not really like that. You end up with cash flow issues. You might be profitable, but you haven't been paid, so you can't buy the next lot of stock. There are a lot of different issues. So the bigger you get, the harder it actually gets to run your business. So around about 3.5 years, it's obviously a tipping point. And you know, if you're not sufficiently prepared, you're not going to get any further.
Why do you think South African small businesses still cry about a lack of access to funding? Are commercial banks not very accommodating? And what about all the various small business support agencies that are around? Are they constrained about the extent to which they can help?
Well, the small business agencies are not really there to support in terms of funding. They tend to support in terms of advice and that. South African banks tend to look to the upper end of the market for providing capital, so they look to deal with corporates. There's a lot more security for them. It's a lot easier to do. They can do a lot fewer deals for a much larger amount of money. And if you look at when South Africa's sovereign debt was downgraded, the South African banks were downgraded by the ratings agency straight after that, which means their lending criteria moves upwards, which means it's harder for the smaller businesses to actually get capital or get funding from them. And this is a problem around the world, but it is really exacerbated in South Africa because of the situation we're in, the ratings downgrades and things like that.
So in the South African context, if you're speaking to a group of small businesses, which you probably are, given our listenership, what would you advise them to do, given the constraints that you've just outlined?
Well, look, at the end of the day, you've got to be very careful in what you do with your business. You've got to make sure that from day one, you do everything the correct way. Make sure that your books are in order, that your accounts are always up to date, that the money that you owe is paid on time. Make sure that you do, that you plan correctly, that you don't overextend yourself. None of it's really rocket science. It's all the usual instructions or things that people have to follow when they're running a business. The problem is that once you get into the business and you're a few years into it, you tend to start working in the business and not on the business. So you're dealing with day-to-day problems, and you're not actually looking from a helicopter view up above, looking at the entire business and trying to plan strategically. Now, the bigger the business gets, the more people it has who are able to help with that type of thing. The owner or the management team can then look at what they can do further in advance. But when it's a small business, the owner tends to be the owner, the director, the manager, and plays a whole lot of other roles. And that makes it very hard for them to plan in advance and make sure that everything that they're supposed to do is being done correctly.
What you're saying makes sense. But now, what would you advise, you know, a very small business player to do? How often would you advise them to take that helicopter view as you're talking about? I know it will be dependent from one business to another, but in order to just, you know, keep things ticking along nicely, how often should they exercise looking at the bigger picture?
Look, there's various different degrees of how you do it, but I would say every quarter you look at certain things, every 6 months you look at other things, and every year you look at other things. And you've got to decide for your business which parts of it are relevant for the 3, 6, and 12 month reviews. But you've got to keep on top of that. You've got to make sure that even if you are a small business, at the end of the day, if you want to grow that and you want to become a big business, you've got to act and you've got to think like a big business from day one. big businesses have their audits done properly, they have their books done properly, they have their planning done properly, they look strategically at where they're going and what problems might be coming up and how they can grow and what sort of cash demands they'll have in the future and what could go wrong. Now, I mean, it sounds pretty intuitive, but a lot of people don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to grow into a big business, you've got to think, how do big businesses do this? How do I plan to get there? And you've got to keep on redoing your planning and see what has changed over the last few months. What has changed going forward? How do I adapt to that? Are the things that I was looking at a few months ago still the same? And, you know, it's all very much the same across the board. It's just how much work you do, depending on the size of the business.
Hmm. Now, I notice you're placing a lot of emphasis on the business person themselves. And, of course, they are key in making their business fly. But, obviously, they need support. We have a government, obviously, and they created the Small Business Ministry some years ago. And then last year, they also set up a one-stop shop facility, which enables you to do pretty much everything that you need to do administratively to set up your business and get flying and get advice about how to do so. Do you think these initiatives have helped at all, or do you think they need a bit more, they need more in order to assist people succeed in their businesses?
I think there's a very, very long way to go. I like the fact that this is what we're talking about and that government is paying attention to this, but at the moment you can't tell if there's actually actions that are following the words or if it's just lip service. In South Africa, we definitely need a lot less red tape. We've tried to become a very, very advanced, developed country in some ways where we actually aren't. We're still an emerging market, and the red tape and the rules that are required to set up a business and get a VAT number and register everything are very, very hard. You understand that things like FICA and RICA were put in there for a good reason, but at the end of the day, it doesn't make it easier for businesses to get going.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of what the government does at the moment should be taken online. SARS is a great example of how you can do a lot of what you want to do online. Having said that, trying to set up a VAT number at SARS these days is almost impossible if you're a small business. The government really needs to look at tax incentives, and I think it's a major issue in South Africa because it's all left up to the government. You know, if you look at the US, different states are able to offer you different tax incentives. The provinces here are not really able to compete with each other on tax incentives because the tax is levied by the government, not the provinces. There's a lot of training.
I was going to say, just elaborate a little bit or illustrate, you know, what these tax incentives would be, how long they would be run for, you know, how long they would be run for, how long can government afford to give such a cushion, especially in our current fiscal environment?
Well, if you actually look at it, the amount of tax that is collected by small businesses is not massive. So allowing small businesses that are new to carry on for the first 5 years or up to a certain turnover, which I think at the moment is below a million, but that's really not a big turnover. So you've got to give guys a chance to get to 5, 6, 7 million over 5 years and let them not pay any tax. That's really not going to affect the government's tax collection. What we've seen is that almost 47% of jobs in the country are provided by small to medium-sized enterprises. But something, I'm not sure of the exact figure, but I think less than 20% of taxes are collected from SMEs. So it's not going to make a difference by giving tax incentives to these guys, but it will make a difference to jobs, which is a huge problem in South Africa. So there definitely are ways of doing it. It's just at the moment we don't seem to be looking at ways of actually helping businesses. We seem to be putting together very nice sound bites for speeches. And when it comes down to action, it's really not there.
In terms of a small business person succeeding, what must they do to try and differentiate themselves from the next small business person, especially if they're going to be accounting for about 90% of employment in 2030?
Well, that's the thing. You know, if you're starting a business, there's no real point in going into business and doing something exactly the same as somebody else is doing it at that moment in time. If that service or product is not available in your area, then that's something that's different. But going in and doing exactly the same thing as somebody else and saying, oh, we're going to give a better price, is just a race to the bottom where everyone suffers. So you've got to be innovative to start a business. You've got to have a new idea, or you've got to have a new way of doing something, or a new way of getting those things, the products or services, to the end user. And then once you've got that and the business is launched, you've got to keep on innovating. There's no ways that you can rest on your laurels and say, well, look, I did this, I'm very good, and for the next 5 years, this is what I'm going to fall back on. Mm. You need to be innovating, adapting, launching new products or enhancements to your products and services all the time. So it really is about constant innovation and constant improvement.
Mm. And lastly, this issue of entrepreneurship, which of course would be central to someone who's running a small business, do you think perhaps it's somewhat overdone to try and suggest to everybody that they should, you know, get up, you know, pull up their bootstrings and just become an entrepreneur and run a business? Because you obviously need a level of education and a level of, you know, nous to be able to, you know, to do the basics, let alone succeed in the manner that you've suggested.
Not necessarily. I mean, if you look through history, there have been a lot of people who have launched businesses and done things with little to no education. Richard Branson dropped out of school. Bill Gates and Mark Zuckerberg, the way they made it to Harvard, they both dropped out. Now, you could say that they needed a lot more training and education in order to learn to run their businesses, but they've done it without that education.
All right, I was speaking there with Simon Leps, the CEO of XPRS Capital Africa. Well, it's time out from me, Nompumelelo Seziba, and the rest of the MoneyWeb team. Do have a great evening.